Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, David Clark, an author and former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time. And for today's show, we're going to be doing part two of the spirituality of animals. Excuse me, folks. We're going to be talking how they are teaching us, and will humans listen to them? So please feel free to participate or to just listen. And let me introduce my co-host, Kat Edwards. Kat, I didn't ask you, how are you today? Kat? Okay, hold on. We're having a problem. Kat?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
I can, yes. I can, and somebody's beeping me, and they're going to have to just be patient. That's the beauty of doing radio out of the home and over the telephone. Such things as call waiting become an issue. So, anyhow, I just got home, folks, and made it into the studio 28 seconds ahead of time, so I'm a little discombobulated. I'm going to let Kat start off the discussion, as I frequently do, on spirituality of animals, what they're teaching us, and will we ever listen.
I just want to congratulate you on that awesome word, discombobulated, for starters. That's just the best.
Okay.
It's fun to say, too, discombobulated.
It is fun. It's fun, and it's a funny word. Yeah.
It is a funny word.
Which yeah,
show just
yeah.
Some funny words. And have a big laugh.
It fits. It fits. Yeah.
Where were we? The spirituality of animals. I'm not a shaman, and if there is somebody who's listening who is, please call in or put your comments in the show thread on Facebook. You'll see where I've advertised the show, and just put your comments under that, because I think that probably we really should have organized a shaman for this.
That would have been great.
To really get
yeah.
that. Yeah, yeah, and maybe that we'll do that next time.
Mm-hmm.
So I can only go off of my understanding and knowing when it comes to dealing with animals and their spirituality. And my experience is that the animals to me are children of Mother Earth. So they are a direct expression of her and her life. Her consciousness springs out as many different animals. And then there's the other side of it, which is the evolution of the soul, in which a person's soul grows through different bodies as you come into being a human. And so that gives you the opportunity to have had lifetimes as animals. And because spirit is fluid, not as in fluid as in water fluid, but fluid is in, it moves as it will. What stops a soul who is a higher being from reincarnating into an animal form so that it can teach? And I've seen this a few times. I did a live show back in 2016, and as part of the show I had to go within to see the spirit guide and to get a message for the audience member. And I went within and I saw a dog. And I opened my eyes and I described the dog. And the woman said, oh, my God, yes, it's my dog. It's just died 3 weeks ago. And I said, well, I'm here trying to find your spirit guide, not your deceased dog. So I'm going to go within and find out what's going on. So I went back in and projected my mind into the dog. And as I focused on the dog, it changed form into a woman. And that woman looked like an African goddess. So I came out of the vision and I described that to her. And she said, oh, I'm really into tribal stuff. I'm really into African goddesses. I love that. Oh, my goodness. And I didn't know this person. I knew some of the people who came along, but I didn't know anybody intimately, apart from Craig and Leander, who helped me to put the shows on. Craig actually got me to do them. So I didn't have any idea that she was into that. And so then when I went in with the same woman, because as part of the show, I would also use a pendulum and a list of angel names, and I signed her angel. The angel matched the guide. So and that has happened time and again where it's been an animal who's incarnated, but the soul is a higher form being. So I think animals, they're not what conventional science think they are, which is, you know, I don't know, it depends on which conventional science person you're talking to, but they tend to not think of them beyond something that has primitive experience, you know, eat, sleep, excrete, and they can have certain emotions. They'll concede to that. I've met a psychologist who was adamant animals did not have souls, and I don't believe that. I don't believe they don't have souls. It just doesn't make sense to me. And so I think that I'd like to discuss these points with you, David, but also the and it's certainly not an attack on you. I know that last time you talked about you owned an animal, owned your dog and whatever, and I think that's just a habitual word. I don't think that it's your mindset.
Right.
But I would like to open the discussion about animal ownership and what human beings are actually saying there, because I've got little fish, but I don't feel like I own them. So I'd like to talk about that as well. What do you think?
Well, I think that's a brilliant topic because we don't own our children. Our parents don't own us. We don't own our animals. We're all divine creatures. We're all blessed by a power greater than ourselves. And we come together, and I believe animals choose us, not vice versa, even though it seems that way. I have adopted, I talked on last week's show about how Robbie and I adopted these two cats. And he adopted one, I adopted the other, but they chose the opposite one. And I have had that experience with other pets, too. Al and I adopted, I'm trying to get away from that own word, we adopted two beagles, Chauncey and Waldo. And Chauncey very much bonded with me, and Al's not on the line, so I'm going to say that he adopted me. I just felt such a bond with that animal. And when he passed away, oh, my God, I have not experienced such grief as I did with that little dog than I did with my maternal grandmother, who was the only person that gave me unconditional love as a child. And I was bereft when I lost her at the age of 9. It took me decades to get over her passing. And that brings me to another aspect of animals and what they teach us. Because animals do teach us, I believe, unconditional love. They're totally forgiving. They're so aware and so in the moment. And are we going to listen to that? Are we going to learn from that? Because a lot of humans judge and attach conditions to other humans on how they should behave. I hate that. That's a dirty word, should. And I have accidentally hit my, accidentally kicked a kitty a couple of times when they were in the way. And yeah, they scattered and then they came back to me for more loving. They just are so forgiving. And there is no condition. You know, they come into our lives for whatever reason, and they are so precious. And, you know, it's so rewarding to share life with a pet. It is just a wonderful, wonderful experience. There was something else I was going to say connected to what you were saying earlier, and it's left me. But I'm going to turn it back to you for a moment, and I'm sure you will stimulate more ideas, Kat.
Ooh, I'm stimulating you again.
Yes, you are. You have a tendency to do that, you know, even though I'm a big man. What can I say? Gotta have a laugh, you know. Yeah, right. Oh, I know what I was going to say. You talked about evolution and reincarnation and how animals tend to advance themselves and their souls. I believe that every aspect of our souls, meaning all the individual lives in whatever form we've lived, form an oversoul. And all of those oversouls are connected to everybody else who has a soul or an oversoul connected to all of their lives. And I was just thinking about elephants and whales. They are such highly evolved animals, mammals, and they're so spiritual. My God Almighty, it just tears me apart the way humans have butchered those creatures. I mean, they're divine beings in animal form. And I think that they are the most highly evolved creatures of the animal kingdom. I don't know what you think, Kat. But I believe that some humans devolve based on whatever karma they've accumulated in their lives, that they need to go back into the animal state to experience some of that unconditional love, perhaps, and bring it back to human life. There are so many ways that we can look at this, and it would be wonderful to have a shaman. It would be wonderful to have somebody that has even more knowledge about reincarnation. But these are some of my thoughts, right or wrong, I don't know, but I'm just putting them out. So what do you think, Kat?
Well, sorry, I'm clearing my throat. I agree that, you know, elephants and whales are deeply spiritual beings. They're highly evolved, and even science fiction knows that. You know, it just makes me think of that Star Trek movie, Generations, I think it was, where the alien race were going to come down on Earth because they couldn't hear a whale song. Because the whales, you know, they put out that energy of the song of Mother Earth through her water. And they, it's like they, their song helps to purify all the hurts that the water holds, because water holds emotion. And then these beautiful creatures are singing, and they're singing this water clear. And it makes me think of my Polynesian, my darling Polynesian friend, and how they sing. You know, they sing when someone dies and they sing when someone's born. And this song is beautiful, is stunning. And it clears that emotion. It's meant to. And it just feels like that's what whales do as well. They have this deep energy of healing and clearing. And that allows the water is not to become toxic. And I think for a while there, because we had lost so many whales, maybe that allowed the consciousness of humans to drop a bit. You know, when we were going through the Industrial Revolution, just before we relied on whale oil for quite a while until we discovered crude oil and moved over into crude oil. And that was sort of the beginning of the 19th century, wasn't it? Mid to late 19th century into 20th century. It hasn't been that long we've been using crude oil.
No, it has not.
No. And so whale populations, I'm not a marine biologist, but I think whale populations in some respects are still recovering, and in other respects they're happy with the healthiness of the whale populations. But we have to recognize that nature herself is multidimensional, and there's seen and there's unseen. And look, we scientifically know there's the unseen. We're using the unseen right now in radio waves, in microwaves, in Wi-Fi. The unseen is real. And so I think that that's the next frontier, is really the science that's starting to recognize the unseen aspects of what animals actually have, you know, what they do and how they help the ecosystem. But so I don't know, as you were talking, I started to think about my own spirit animals, the animals that really connect with me. And some of them are not native to this country that I live in, but I think I've had experiences within other lifetimes, and I've brought that deep connection with me, such as the black jaguar. Now that's a South American animal, but that animal and I feel a deep connection to that animal. It's a ferocious animal. I have a lot of respect. And I don't think that I'd survive very long in the wild with one. But there is some sort of deep heart connection for me with that animal. There's no wild black jaguars native in Australia. Whereas I can look at like a quoll, which is a little marsupial here in Australia, and I'll love that little creature, but I won't have some sort of teaching from it. And I think that's the difference. And that's only because I haven't had a deep connection with that quoll. But I have had a teaching from a possum. So then when I see the possums, I have an affinity to them. And they live around us, sort of like squirrels live around northern parts of Europe and North America. Possums live around us everywhere. You know, I see them walking along the power poles and they jump around at night. And I made the mistake when I first moved into this house of throwing some old fruit and veg up the backyard. And then that meant that the possums decided to try and break into the house to steal more food. So there's something that they do, and it's not on a conversant level of talking because they can't talk. They translate their thoughts to you through heart to heart. And it's a deep knowing. When you have a healing or a teaching from an animal, it hits you somewhere deeply. Have you ever experienced that, David?
When you do what, Kat? I'm sorry.
When you have a teaching or a healing from an animal? Have you ever had a teaching or a healing from an animal?
Emotional healing, yes.
Mm.
Teaching,
and
teaching, absolutely. Again, I want to go back to the theme of unconditional love as a teaching. The way they take care of their young encourages me to take better care of my pets since I don't have any children of my own. The way they relate to nature, the sense of wonder that they have, the sense of connection that they have, these are things that they teach me. Those are things that come to mind offhand. How about you?
Sorry, I just took a mouthful of breakfast cereal. I was hoping you were going to keep talking. It is 6:22 a.m. Here in Brisbane. So when I advertise have breakfast with Kat and afternoon tea with David, I'm having breakfast with you.
Good. Nourishment is important, and that's one thing that I think a friend of mine has learned from animals, because they tend to gobble their food pretty quickly, at least dogs do. Cats, not as much so. But I have a friend that gobbles his food, and he had dogs, so he must have learned that from the dogs. Of course, I'm joking, but,
Well, there's some things we can teach the animals, too.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know, And in some spiritual teachings, they actually say, you know, if you have gotten to the higher order mind of a human, and I teach this in my spiritual teaching and when I go into spiritual churches and centers, five orders of mind that I have observed of humans. When you start to get into the fourth and fifth orders of mind, you're starting to get into a higher vibrational mind. You're moving into a mind that is now driven by the heart. It is not driven by the ego, or the id. It is driven more by the heart. It is more driven by choosing to be self-mastered, and it is more conscious and aware. So then you can turn around to all minds who are in the lower orders, and not lower as lesser, by the way, lower as in their focus is more base. It's more on survival. It's more on gimme what I want. Gimme, you know, instant gratification, things like that. So you could turn to those lower order minds and teach and help them to grow and come up in their vibration. And so you can do this with animals too. So the animal gives you unconditional love. Say, for example, a horse or a cow. It gives you unconditional love. It talks to you. It heals you in its own way. And in return, what do you give it? What do you teach it? How do you help it to grow, to evolve? You know, it's a two-way street here. And so I think humanity has an obligation to assist those animals who are in the higher order mind themselves for their body to grow and evolve, so they can experience a greater lifetime next time. Does that make sense?
It does. It does, yeah. And, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking about symbiosis. There is a real symbiotic connection between me and my pets. They nurture me, I nurture them. There's no parasitic elements at all. It's just a wonderful thing. And, you know, as you were talking, one of my kitty cats came up for some loving, and she's right next to me, and she's licking me, and I'm petting her. Her name is Samantha. I talked about her last week. And it's just, they say that people who have pets are better adjusted, that are more emotionally healthy, that they live longer lives. At least I've heard these things. Whether or not they're true, I don't know. But it makes sense to me because they are such touchstones to such a mellow place and such a loving place within us. And they enhance my spirit, as I trust I enhance theirs too. Certainly there are people who don't learn lessons from animals, who are abusive to animals, and the animals become, they teach their animals to be aggressive. I think of pit bulls that have been given a bad name, but it all is in the training. You know, we can train our animals to be kind and loving and nurturing and all of those things, and we can teach them to become aggressive. So that's lessons from human to animals that are either, as I would say, good or bad. You know, then we have animals that are extreme carnivores and that would attack us, and we need to have respect for them. So they teach us respect. They teach us to take care. And I think the most important thing that any individual can do is to take care of oneself. If you do that, then you're in a position to care for others. And if you don't do that, you burn out. So those are just some related or unrelated thoughts. I don't know what you think, but I'll turn it back to you, Kat.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, it's true. I mean, when you look at a crocodile, yeah, that thing wants to eat you if it's hungry. If it's not hungry, it probably doesn't want to have anything to do with you. But crocodiles can be incredibly nurturing and caring. And I mean, I used to live near Australia Zoo, and I used to see Steve Irwin occasionally. And I always, one day I was watching him on a documentary, and it's too easy to look at a guy like him and think, oh, yeah, no, he's a rogue, he's a larrikin, he's not taking care. But he wasn't. He had a dominion with animals. He had a deep spiritual connection with animals, and he could approach a wild animal, and it would not in every case, but in many cases, immediately calm and realize he wasn't a threat and take on a alongside feeling towards him rather than a flee or a fight feeling towards him. And I saw that time and again. I stopped looking at him as an entertainer pretty quickly, and I started really watching him with my heart. And I saw somebody who was very, very connected, deeply connected to the animals and the way that they think and see the world. And that's really important. When you're dealing with anyone who's outside of yourself, whether they're a child, another person, or an animal, or even a plant, you have to look at what is going on for them. You have to think about what they're thinking about. Put yourself in their shoes. And that's when you can make breakthroughs. And, yeah, that's the deep thing. I mean, you would know as a pet parent, as I do, I don't have to talk in human words to my cat to know what he's wanting.
Right.
He tells me, and I know. He wakes me up at about between 2 and 4 a.m. for a midnight snack every single night. He is 17 in August. He requires me to walk him downstairs to his food bowl, sit with him, and then we go back up to bed. He does not feel safe anymore because he's elderly. I've tried putting the food upstairs. He doesn't like that. He likes his food bowl where it is. So there's things that he likes. Then he'll go out to the toilet and he'll come back in, and then he'll wait for me and he'll round me up. And what he's wanting is me to take him and put him on a bed. He's not one, he can put himself on a bed, but he wants me to take him there and settle him in. And so this is his communication with me and me understanding what he wants. The only way that I can do that is the two of us are in each other's head. I mean, it's with cats, they're pretty self-serving, you know. We do know of animals that will wake people up, wake their humans up and get them out of the house if it's on fire or something like that. And I'm sure Pericles would do that for me. Yeah. But, you know, that's a, when we're talking about how animals can teach us or heal us, I think that's what we're talking about, isn't it? How we communicate with them and they communicate with us and where we actually feel and know that.
Well, you know, you hit on an important element. We alluded to spirit earlier and you talked about the spirituality of animals. And to me, I learned so much about spirituality from animals. I had talked about how present to the moment they are. And when I connect with an animal, that brings me right to the moment. Now, Samantha is cuddling up to me, and I feel very connected to her. I feel very much at peace. She brings these qualities that evoke these feelings that are so comforting. And I marvel at how they just stay conscious and aware, and they don't appear to cling on to anything that we humans do as far as obsessing over thoughts and engaging in compulsive behaviors. I suppose some might, but I don't know. I'm not an animal expert. There was something else you said that I wanted to comment on, and I don't remember what it was. But, you know, They are amazing. Oh, I know what I was thinking about. For some reason, I just went off on a tangent as you were talking. I don't think it was related to anything you said. But I was thinking of indigenous people, and in particular the Native Americans, and the reverence that they have for animals, and how when they need to kill an animal for food, they always bless the spirit of the animal and the great spirit for providing them with life. And likewise, I remember seeing a movie, I don't remember what it was, but this elderly Indian Native American went up on a precipice to sit and die. And when he died, there was the image of this eagle. He connected so with the spirit of an eagle, and it was as if he had become the eagle and became free in his spirit, like an eagle, but just soars and, again, is just connected to the moment and whatever there is. So those are just some random thoughts that have occurred to me as we've been talking.
Yeah, I like that. I like that he turned into an eagle. His spirit was, so deeply evolved into the connection with Mother Earth, Pachamama. Animals have a simplicity with them. They don't go into too much complexity. They don't overthink. They can feel traumatized. They can remember. They'll remember the kindness, and they'll remember cruelty. But so many times I've watched animals being rescued, and there's a YouTube channel my children and I watch sometimes called Animal Aid, which comes out of India, and they rescue these dogs and sometimes cats, but mainly dogs and donkeys and cows. And the donkeys are terribly treated. Some of them, they often have ropes that are dug right into their flesh and their legs. Sometimes around their tummy. They're in agony. It's a human that's done that. A donkey wouldn't do that to another donkey. They physically couldn't anyway. And it has to be a human that rescues that animal and heals it. And even though it's been abused by humans, the animals will still come round. They will understand, not this human. This human didn't do this to me. This human's helping me. And they will begin to show love again. And I think that's amazing. You know, and some dogs, you know, they can be dangerous. They're barking and biting. But if you choose to connect deeply with them and give them the time and space to learn to trust again, they'll teach you so much about love. So if you're listening and you want to understand more about the deep spiritual connection that we're talking about with animals, start with watching some of these rescue videos on YouTube and look deeply into it with your heart, because that's where the animal is. It comes out of there. It has a beautiful juxtaposition between its necessity to survive. And we know they have the predatory instinct. They have you know, instinct to eat and reproduce, and there's certain things that drive them. I mean, you don't want to be near a bull elephant when it's breeding season. You certainly don't want to be a tree, a bull elephant in breeding season. So they have things that drive them. They're very kinesthetic in that way as well, with their, you know, their body pushes them. And that's because they're a child of the planet. The planet in her body, she must express herself through body because she's matter. And so the matter that is expressed as life comes out in so many different forms. It's incredible. I think life is amazing. And we're not disconnected from that. We are connected into that. The difference between somebody who's been brought up on the land and whether they've been farming or whether they've been brought up in an indigenous tribe, and I mean like an eco-farming, and somebody who is brought up in a sky-rise building who has, you know, only materialism as their guide, the two things are like chalk and cheese. When you start to get into that grounding and you start to see and feel everything from a very deep perspective, you start to see that these animals are all around us to help us to see the aspects of them within ourselves.
Kat, we do have a caller, and area code 917.
Oh, fantastic.
Thank you for joining us. Yes, thank you for joining us. We do give callers an opportunity to participate in the discussion if they'd like to, and if not, we'd just like to say hello to you and find out your name and how you happen to come across our show for the day. So I'm coming to you now, and please don't be shy. What is your first name, please?
Hi, I just want to listen, if that's okay.
That's perfectly okay. Thank you so much for tuning in. How did you find us?
I found you on Facebook.com.
Ah, okay, great. So you saw our Facebook page. Okay, well, please continue to listen, and thank you for joining us today. This might be a good opportunity to talk about the Facebook page, Kat. Would you care to let the listeners know what that's all about?
Yeah, so we have a Facebook page called The Healing Circle with David Clark and Kat Edwards, and that's our base for the radio show. So if you would like to communicate with us about anything to do with the radio show, get on to our Facebook page, send us a message. And also, if you would like to participate in the show but you don't want to call in, you can just find the show that we are broadcasting on live. You'll see it usually it's the top one, the top post, and just comment under there. I'll read it out live on the air, and we'll add it to our discussion. So that's a way that you can be a part of the radio show without having to call in if you don't want to. Otherwise, call in and you'll see the telephone number also in the write-up for the show that we're broadcasting at the moment. So the show is live every Monday afternoon at 4 p.m. North American Eastern Daylight Savings Time and 6 a.m. Tuesday mornings Australian Eastern. David?
Yes, and please suggest topics. If there's something in particular you'd like us to discuss that's related to spirit or matters of the heart or matters of the mind, we'd be happy to entertain those topics and deal with them on a future show. There were a couple more thoughts that I had, and then I'll come back to you, Kat, and then we'll do meditation, and I believe it's my turn today. I was thinking about devotion, and devotion is something that sometimes we don't do too well with other human beings that are precious to us. We don't always let them know how much they mean to us. Sometimes we don't even, sadly, we don't even take the opportunity to let them know how much we love them. And they pass out of our lives without ever hearing those words out of our mouth. I think most people that have an appreciation for animals, and now I'm referring more to pets, show that devotion. And the pets are so devoted to us, too. They rely on us. They're like little children. And, of course, as you mentioned, the cats are a little more independent and don't require quite as much care as dogs, which are like babies. But the other thing I was thinking about were service dogs and how much an animal can learn and then return to a recipient who needs help with a service dog, be they blind or emotionally disturbed or for whatever reason they have one. Those dogs are remarkable. And I'm sure I would love to talk to somebody who has a service dog to find out what lessons they teach. I'm sure there are many. And they protect people. They heal people. I think animals are great healers. And we as humans have that capacity too. But I think animals, it's my belief, they're natural healers. They come to us and soothe us. They know when we're troubled. When my husband was troubled recently, he went through some very trying times, and the dog would just be right by his side. A good friend of mine passed away last week, and his dog was there and licking his body and just wouldn't leave. And then after the body was taken away, the animal would just lie there at night. And it was very poignant and painful to witness. But that just shows the kind of devotion an animal has for its owner. So I just wanted to share that as well. So, Kat, we have just a couple of minutes left if you would. Wait a minute. We have, just a couple of minutes left if there's anything else that you're moved to share, and then we'll go into meditation.
Yeah. Yeah, so I thought that was really beautiful, David, but I did want to talk about this idea that humans have of ownership of animals. In Australia, an animal is under your care, the law states that it's a possession, like a chair is a possession. So if someone steals your child, it's kidnapped. But if someone steals your animal, it's theft. And so I kind of struggle with that a bit, because here we're talking about them in such respect and awe that they are a deep teacher. You just talked about devotion. They help, they serve humans. They are so kind to us in so many ways. We should offer them a lot of respect. And yet we talk about ownership and owning them. And my children queried me on this because I'd said I didn't own my cats. I talk about my cats, but I also talk about my hairdresser. You know, like it's someone who belongs with me, not to me. And they said, "Oh, but what about your fish? They're in an aquarium. And you own the aquarium, so you must own the fish." And yeah, that was a good point. But the fact is that I adopted those fish to care for them. They were in the domestic animal pool of incarnates. And their soul was aware that they were going to be having this experience of being adopted by a human who would care for them and they would not be in the wild. They're very much 100% reliant on the conditions that I give them. And if I'm not very good at keeping fish, then there's every chance they'll die. So I actually have to be very well educated and aware in how to look after them so that they can survive and live a long and healthy life. I also have to put my own feelings aside if necessary, if one of my fish gets too big and I have to adopt them out, which is what I have to do at the moment with one of my fish. So I don't own them, and it pains me that I would have to ask for money to give that fish a better life. But that is only because of the human. Because if I gave the fish away to the human, I wouldn't necessarily have that other human value the life of the fish. Because humans put value into money more in some respects than they do into life. So there's that unfortunate part of it, that there has to be money change hands so that there's some sort of payment in the human's mind and they have weight then. But really, I don't own the fish. They own themselves. And when I tap on the glass at night in a little rapping sound, and that gets my angel fish to swim up to me, and they look at me with such bright, happy, loving eyes. They're excited. They know that I'm going to feed them. And you can tell what they're thinking because of their body language. And you can tell, you know, when they're grumpy with you. And if you get a more evolved fish, like an Oscar fish, they have emotions. They'll sook. They'll get angry with you. They'll get happy with you. They're like dogs in some respects. So, you know, these are not you know, bits of material. These are living creatures. But I think because of money, humans have decided that they own animals. I don't own my animals. My animals also, if it feels right, they will come. I don't adopt an animal that doesn't feel right. It's got to feel like it's right to come with me. No matter how much I desire to have, you know, another cardinal tetra in the shoal, if it doesn't feel right that day, they're not the ones that will vibe right for me. I don't know how to change that. So that's just my personal experience and opinion. And I think that people who are on the path have such a deep experience with animals that they start to realize how much they enrich. Just as you do, David, you really have that enrichment, don't you? That love.
Oh, yeah.
It's so much deeper than this is my possession.
Yes.
Anyway, well, that's my little thought.
Thank you. I love your little thoughts and your big thoughts, too. So let's take a moment to move into a quiet space. Close your eyes if you feel comfortable. If you don't, focus on a spot on the wall or something that you can center yourself on visually. And start to breathe deeply. Breathe into the count of 7, counting out 1,002. 1,002, 1,003, 1,004, 1,005, 1,006, 1,007. When it's a deep breath and breathe out. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And I suggest you breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. In through your nose. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Out through your mouth, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and one more time without me counting. And now just breathe naturally. Just feel the relaxation in your body as you've centered yourself through the gift of breath. And imagine that you are a disembodied spirit that chooses and wants to come into this life. And so you decide that you want to become a cat. And you are born. You wriggle out of you're pushed out of your mother's womb, and you suckle on her tits, and you are content just to be alive, not knowing what it's about at this stage, because your consciousness has changed from that of spirit. But as you grow, you open your eyes, you begin to become more independent. You begin to bond with the parent, if you will, that has adopted you or adopted the mother. For you've come into a home with loving people. That's the home you chose in this life. And thank you for joining us, area code 415. We're meditating right now. And so you begin to bond with these people that have adopted your mother. And you love and know that you're going to be taken care of, that you're going to be fed at regular intervals, that there will always be fresh water for you, that you can go outside if that's what the people who have adopted you allow you to do, or you can enjoy the inside and look out the windows at the beauty of nature, which always intrigues you. And there may be children in the house, let's say there are, and those children are learning lessons from you, and you're teaching them, and at a certain level you are aware of that, but you're so present to the moment, you're just happy, you're happy to eat, you're happy to take a nap, you're happy to be petted, and you grow older in the love of that household, of the so-called owner who loves you in return and is learning so much about life and love from you. But there comes a day when you're tired and when your soul chooses to go back to the great spirit from which it came. And the circumstances differ in this life from the last life that you were in. Or you become ill, and your adopted parent has to put you down. But that's an act of love. And you are given the gift of not having to suffer. And so you're grateful, even though you may not be aware of what's happening. You know that your owner is, your so-called owner, is going to take good care of you to the end. You have that perfect abiding faith. And so you close your eyes and you return to spirit, to the wonder of all that is on the other side. And so you, the cat, can open your eyes and gaze in wonder. For you are now a human being who is sitting in this room, who is breathing, and who has come into another form of existence, so-called higher. I don't know what you think. And so it is. Kat, thank you so much. And everybody,
thank you.
Everybody have a good week. And remember to tune in again next week. We haven't selected a topic yet, but it will be posted sometime by Sunday of this coming week. And the show is at 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time in the United States, as Kat had said, and at 6 a.m. Brisbane, Australia time. That's Eastern Australia, correct, Kat?
Yeah, Brisbane is in Eastern Standard Time, and we remain in Eastern Standard Time all year round, whereas New South Wales, Victoria, and Tasmania go into Eastern Daylight Savings Time in summer.
Okay. Well, take care, Kat, and everybody have a great week. Thanks for joining us once again.
Goodbye.
Bye.